today's special edition of Straight Talk Africa, Nigeria Elections 2015. We are collaborating with our partner Channels Television in Lagos to discuss the pertinent issues. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to a special edition of Straight Talk Africa. It's Wednesday, February 4th. I am Shaka Salih. My colleague, social media reporter Maria Majaro, will join us later in the program. Today, we begin a series of programs with our Nigerian partner station, Channels Television, in the lead up to the presidential and general elections. Programs that will focus on the major issues of the upcoming polls of Africa's largest economy and most populous nation. We'll be expected to be joined by my Nigerian colleague, Chamberlain Uso, host of Channel TV's Nigeria 2015, based in the commercial capital, Lagos. But first, as Nigeria goes to the polls this month, many expect the two top presidential contenders to gain much of their support from constituencies organized along ethnic or religious lines. But are faith and regional blocs really what political power in Nigeria is all about? Voice of America's Chris Stein reports from the capital, Abuja.
When President Goodluck Jonathan won Nigeria's presidency in 2011, much of his support came from the southern Niger Delta region, which is where he's from, and also from communities across the nation that share his Christian faith. This month's presidential election once again pits Jonathan against his challenger from 2011, former military ruler Muhammadu Buhari. The outcome is far from certain. Whoever wins will be tasked with ending the ongoing Boko Haram insurgency in the northeast, managing what last year became Africa's largest economy, and mitigating the corruption that has held back the country's development. For some voters like Oloko Akpaka, that's the most important issue.
If corruption is tackled and solved, most of Nigerian problems will reduce, including most of domestic problems and probably insurgents.
But religion and ethnicity, rather than competence, will be on the minds of voters when they go to cast their ballot, says academic Abubakar Kerry.
But certainly ethnicity, regionalism, and religion are going to be very, very prominent factors in the elections. If any discerning analyst, an honest one, should be able to admit, that the two leading candidates, President Jonathan and General Muhammadu Buhari, are likely going to perform very well in their immediate homeland.
The reason for that is the long history of power being doled out by politicians to people who they share commonalities with, like ethnicity or religion, says political commentator Chris Ngwodo.
What you have is a situation where identity is the access key to social and economic opportunities. So it matters in a psychological and in a material sense when someone looks to the presidency and sees someone of his faith or someone of his ethnicity there. And so in the context of elections, when people try to mobilize, politicians try to mobilize followership along the lines of identity, along the lines of ethnicity and religion, it's really best seen as a form of populism.
Mr. Buhari is expected to win most of the votes in the north, which is where he is from, and draw strong support from Muslim communities across the country. But Ngwodo says the real key to winning is building a coalition that cuts across the disparate ethnic groups, regions, and religions of Nigeria's 36 states. Whoever does that best typically becomes president. Chris Stein for VOA News, Abuja.
Thanks, Chris, for that report. Now I have the honor to introduce to you my two distinguished guests. Dr. Dolina Beko, is it Beko or Biko? Associate Professor of Conflict Prevention, Mitigation and Resolution at the Africa Center for Strategic Studies, the National Defense University based here in the nation's capital. I have to apologize, frankly, for muddling your name.
It's fine, thank you.
Is it Biko?
Biko.
Biko. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say I'm profoundly honored.
Thank you.
And exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. And Alice Ukoko, founder and the chief executive officer of Women of Africa, that advocates for African women and children in the United Kingdom. In 2007, Ms. Ukoko was the Labour Party gubernatorial candidate in the Niger Delta. She joins us from VOA London studios. Well, Ms. Ukoko, of course, I have to say it's always a pleasure to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you so much, Shaka.
You're most welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You're most welcome. On a programming note, we will not be taking phone calls for today's program. But before the break, of course, we've been talking about how I almost succeeded, in fact, in murdering your name. Once again, my apologies to you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, okay. You've been following, of course, the elections in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. From what you have been able to see, do you sincerely believe that the security situation as obtained in the country right now allows for an election that at the end of the day will be considered to be credible?
Well, it really depends on the three states under emergency rule and whether or not those that reside in those states can vote and whether the displaced can also vote. As it stands, it's not clear that that's going to happen, and I think that would cast some credibility in terms of everybody having an opportunity to cast a vote on the election.
Which specific states are you talking about?
I am talking about Borno, Adamawa, and
Yobe
State, yes.
Those are, of course, the states which are found in the northeastern part of Nigeria.
That's right, bordering Niger, Chad, and Cameroon.
And Cameroon.
That's right.
What about you, Alice? Do you really think that when you look at the security situation on the ground, that your country has the ability and the capability of conducting a credible election under the circumstances?
My doubt goes well beyond the state of insecurity in Nigeria today. It's not just because those in the northeastern states will be able to cast their votes. You cannot. In the Nigerian constitution, there is a prescription for the number of the number of states that a candidate wins before he's declared the winner of the election. At the moment, there is so much insecurity in a big part of the country. Some have argued that it's okay. Nigeria has 36 states. It doesn't matter if in one state people don't vote. Already, that casts doubt on the credibility of the votes.
What about the independent National Electoral Commission? How independent, first of all, is it really? And is it ready, in your view, again, to conduct a credible election come February 14?
Well, I would say to you that even if you leave it to November of this year, I still have my doubt as to whether free and fair election can be conducted in Nigeria. The Mr. President has already said it, that Nigeria has never been able to hold a free and fair election, because he knows that to begin with, the conditions that we guarantee that people have the ability to vote are not there. There is no credible electoral register in Nigeria. Plus the fact that there is the ethnic the intimidation that is going on, political opponents are killing each other, and this is across the whole of the country. This is on top of what is going on Boko Haram is actually doing on one side. So no, they are not able to conduct these elections. They need time to make sure that every Nigerian has the opportunity to register to vote and that those votes will count when the time comes. When that happens, then I will be confident that they will be able to conduct a free and fair election.
Dorina, it is interesting to note that even the incumbent president himself, Goodluck Jonathan, is on record, in fact, saying that his country has never experienced an election that is credible. But what about some who will say, wait a minute, what about June? I believe it was June 12, 1993, when Mashruda Biora, multi-billionaire Mashruda Biora, apparently was leading, in fact, until the election scared the incumbent president at the time, General Babangida, Ibrahim Babangida, Badamasi Babangida, and he annulled it. He annulled that election.
He did, and that is definitely a scar on the sort of democratization process. The 2011 elections were, you know, compared to the past elections, were lauded as having improved much on the administration and the management of the elections.
Mm-hmm.
The very unfortunate thing with those elections was that the sort of conflict dynamics were not taken into account, and you ended up with a very tense situation afterwards and very intense post-election violence.
I'm sure you've been hearing voices from supporters of the government that these elections, in fact, should be postponed, perhaps be, in fact, conducted sometime in April. Why is that so?
Well, the original call for postponing the elections was really a commentary on whether or not INEC was prepared to administer the elections. And the charge was that since many Nigerians had not received their permanent voter's card, that, in fact, the election should be postponed until they had an opportunity to do so. Lately, we've been hearing other reasons for calling a postponement.
But the chairman, Professor Atahiru Muhammadu Jega himself, mm-hmm. has actually said that no, INEC is in a position, at least in his words, to conduct a free, fair, and credible election. Why isn't he being given a chance to do his job?
Well, there are many theories out there as to you know, what the real reason is for calling for postponement. What we're hearing on the surface is that many Nigerians don't even have the physical card to actually go and cast their ballots.
Mm-hmm. Actually, by today, I saw reports suggesting that about 44 million voter cards have actually been effectively distributed. That is, mind you, out of 68 million registered voters.
Yes. So that's the challenge that INEC faces, and that's what it has to answer to is, you know, what's the plan to make sure that the remaining 20 or so million can actually be distributed on time. I think they have extended the deadline for actually going to collect your voter card.
Well, they have extended the deadline for the voter card?
That's the latest that I have that I have read. So giving people a chance to actually go and collect it.
But, of course, they are still on track to hold elections February 14.
Well, that is what we're hearing from INEC. You know, I think to kind of quell the calls for postponing, there should be, you know, maybe a more concrete outline for, you know, how to overcome the logistical challenges.
What does the situation look like on the ground from what you have been able to monitor? Because some of my sources tell me that the presidential election in particular is too close to call. And when you are an incumbent, frankly, tied up in that particular situation, it probably doesn't look good for you, does it?
It is indeed too close to call. They're running neck and neck. Those are what several polls are suggesting. It'll be a very, very close election.
Very close election?
I think so, yes.
But some people have been saying that, you know, when you look at the electoral campaigns, that the major opponent, Major General Muhammadu Buhari, retired but not tired, has been addressing what is characterized as mammoth crowds as compared to those of the president.
You know, you've got people on the ground and then you've got surveys, and sometimes they don't, you know, they don't mesh depending on how people sort of answer. you know, the real test is, of course, what happens at the polls, if people are allowed to go there, you know, sort of freely and, you know, have the vote respect their intentions.
I understand. Mm-hmm. We'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter. And we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka. And join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Nigeria 2015. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa, become a fan, and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please don't go away.
Sia Nyama Karoma, the First Lady of Sierra Leone, speaks to VOA on the Ebola crisis.
I would want the people in West Africa to know that Ebola is real. Ebola kills. Early detection and prompt treatment can save lives. And I'm asking our people not to victimize or stigmatize survivors. Ebola is a challenge, but together we'll all be able to overcome it.
That was Sia Nyama Karoma, the First Lady of Sierra Leone, speaking to VOA Africa on the Ebola crisis.
Well, we are back, of course, on Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Let me go to Alice in London. Alice, are you there?
I am here.
Any particular reason why this time around you did not try to become the governor of Niger State?
Well, I would say that the issue of my governorship race hinged very much on the fact that the president at the time had not given me the go-ahead. Sadly, that is politics in Nigeria. It is not whether the people want you. It is whether you are running under the platform of the ruling party, which is the PDP at the time, and whether you've actually gotten anointed by the power that be. And I didn't have that. That was the challenge I had.
Now, when you look at the electoral landslide right now, you know, landscape rather on this on the ground, what are some of the most important issues, really? And in fact, are they being discussed, or is it in fact an election, frankly, of messengers as opposed to the message?
This is interesting. I want to say that Nigeria is an irony. Nigeria is a country where the people appear not to understand their responsibility that they're supposed to exercise to bring developmental change to their country. We talk about ethnic, whether the president is an Ijoman or whether it's not Ijoman. Is he a Christian or whether it's not a Christian? But the real issue that faced Nigeria at this time, just like what faced the Greek people not too long ago, when they said, we say no to austerity measure, we want change. Nigerians, even in this election, are not talking about the fact that there is no electricity, there is corruption that is backbreaking, there is no money in circulation because those in political offices have siphoned the entire economic power away. There is no health care, there is no sanitation, there is that, in fact, Nigeria is 200 years backward. Nobody at the educational system has been broken in order for a few people to hold the entire population hostage. We don't have a population that understands their responsibility as to how they can use the electoral process to change and make their lives better for themselves and for their children. So Nigeria is very much at great risk because we are talking about people who might not even be able to cast their vote, making a decision that is so very, very vital for Nigeria to move forward and for Africa to move forward.
But how can you talk about how candidates are not, for example, discussing or raising the issue of corruption, among other things, when the last time I checked, really, Major General Buhari retired but not tired, he seemed to be raising that particular issue. In fact, he has told people that he needs to get an opportunity to serve so that, among other things, he can, in fact, stop corruption, really.
Yes. Although, let me say quickly that I'm not going to be voting. I'm not a member of the APC or the PDP, but I am a human rights activist. I believe very much in my country, and I respect General Buhari for the part he has always, his stance has always been there to say, I am a Nigerian. I have a responsibility to save my nation. So he's making that point. He is saying, I'm staking my life, and I want to give the people of Nigeria an opportunity to change the course of their history. So he's talking about the most obvious position that needs to be talked about, and that is corruption. With corruption, we are not able to pay for education. Even the issue of Boko Haram, the Nigerian army has been one of the best in Africa. But we see that even the Nigerian military has not been able to tackle the problem of the insurgency. And this is why we are now at this place where even a section, a wide section of people are not even in their own land. We are displaced. We see the Chadian military coming in and fighting Boko Haram. We are seeing Cameroon. They go across. They are ravaging the whole place. And the military has not been able to do anything. And all of this is because of corruption. So Buhari is saying, let's change the course of our nation. And I congratulate him for that. And I hope that the people of Nigeria will listen. Because this is a man, whether we agree that they're not, is part of Nigeria or not. This is an African. This is a Nigerian who understands, despite the problem he's facing, because there is great incitement against him. So they talk about, where's your education? They have failed to understand that the problem before Nigerians is not just for Buhari. Buhari don't have to run for presidency, but Buhari understands his responsibility as a Nigerian, and he wants to give the country an opportunity to look back and check the corruption rate, the education, the rotten state of women, the killings that is going on across the entire nation. He's trying to unify the country when some are struggling to divide the country. So I will say yes, though the issues have been discussed, but the issues have been discussed by the opponent. The issues, one man, Buhari only has one vote. The Nigerians must wake up and realize that someone can lead the way for them, give them the opportunity to make the change. And to make the change is their responsibility alone. One person cannot save Nigeria. Buhari is only doing his bit. He only has one vote.
Not only does he have one vote, in fact, he's a man who is considered to be incorruptible. He's the man that is expected to bring a broom, which, of course, is a symbol of their party, so as to perhaps to clean corruption out of the system. But what about others who are saying, wait a minute, Alice, what about those many others who are supporting him, who have deep pockets, frankly? How is he going to deal with them? Is he going to make them accountable? Or is he, in fact, at the end of the day, going to join them?
Well, what we know is that Buhari has been there a long time. Buhari is not a corrupt man. Many will say it's a lie. He's not an educated man. Okay, so he's not an educated man. Show me, you who is talking, show me your qualification. Because we also know that the educational system, because of this back-breaking corruption, is now destroyed. So people will say, I'm a graduate. Some will come and they say they are professors. Ask them to bring their certificate and see their path. How they did it, you will never find it. So we're dealing with a situation here where unless if we can get Nigerians, because it is the Nigerians, my problem is the Nigerians. If the Nigerians can wake up, if the church members, the church pastors that they listen to can tell them that for a fact, the responsibility is upon them to change the system. We saw what happened in Burkina Faso, where suddenly people woke up and said, we don't want this man anymore. Within a week, they were able to remove him. So I believe very much that if we have a good president, somebody at the helm who is incorruptible, who are the people of Nigeria stand with him, we will be able, Nigeria will be saved. But whether we save Nigeria will depend on the people of Nigeria. Wake up and make the change.
Now, Dorina, you teach, of course, at the National Defense University, in which case you have a legitimate right to say that the people you teach, you involve with, are very smart people. A Major General Buhari happens to have attended a senior staff college at Jaji. Qualifications from such an institution are regarded to be the nearest equivalent, frankly, of an academic master's degree. Mm-hmm. How come people are saying this man does not have high school education, that he's not educated?
Well, the charge has been that his secondary school certificate was forged. And I think now it's been cleared up and it's been deemed legitimate. But that took a few weeks of controversy that he didn't have a secondary school certificate, which is the primary education criteria for running for president. Just trying to discredit him.
Why would Nigeria or a lot of other African countries really get preoccupied with this business of education based on high school or college, for that matter, frankly, when perhaps what is important is character? Character and whether an individual is acceptable to his or her community. You don't have that kind of standard here. You don't, in fact, even have it in as far as the United Kingdom is concerned, and yet Nigeria was a British colony.
Well, I think some of it might have to do with how politics can be simplified, diverting from the more complex issues. You can kind of rally around the issue of a school certificate. In fact, Jonathan is also being challenged on his
PhD,
so which doesn't matter because again, you know, it's the school secondary school certificate that's important. So you can latch on to these less complicated issues, which don't play into what's really sort of important for the country.
Why should the country have one set of qualifications for those who can actually run and compete for office, and those who can actually cast the vote? Isn't this a way of disfranchising millions and millions of human beings from serving, having an opportunity to serve their country?
Well, I guess we could debate those issues, but the point is that the focus on the legitimacy of whether or not someone has a PhD or not, or is really just distracting from, the real issues that are threatening Nigeria today.
I see. Yeah. You're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jallo. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the outstanding feedback we've received from you, our audience, through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week from a Straight Talk Africa Facebook fan who responded to our question of the week.
Omunua Okugbo from Abuja in Nigeria writes, "The most paramount issues in Nigeria's forthcoming elections are trust building among the nation's various ethnic and religious groups and strategic thinking in government to position Nigeria for sustainable and long-term development. Casting aspiration on the incumbent government does not add any credibility to the opposition. All parties in the elections should tender their blueprint for the transformation of Nigeria to the electorate. In addition, each party must explain how it hopes to work with Nigerian citizens to reach the vision outlined in its transformation blueprint, if indeed it has one."
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Although Nigerians in the United States cannot vote in these elections, they are nonetheless very involved and are following what's happening in their country very, very closely. In fact, last week I covered a rally at the Nigerian embassy in Washington, D.C., where Nigerian expats and their friends marched and chanted in front of the embassy to denounce the deadly raids and massacres by the militant group Boko Haram. I spoke to a few of them about their thoughts on the upcoming polls.
But there is time, there is need for change. When a president's term is done, it's for democracy, it's important for the elections to carry on as expected. So that is something that we need to do, not because of the situation that's going on right now, just to follow the laws of the land.
I think the country is ready. I don't think it's a problem of readiness. It's a question of whether they're going to select the right person to lead them forward. I can't speak for any of them because I don't know them personally. I don't make decisions based on, you know, statements from other people or half statements. But I think, I hope they pick the right person, you know. I don't know what Goodluck Jonathan is doing. You know, obviously they have this problem. Obviously, they cannot solve the problem. So I think, you know, maybe he needs to yield the position to somebody else that can get the job done. You know, but if he feels he has a plan to do it, then let's let him put off, you know, put forward the plan so that people can see that this can make a difference. I do not understand how 2,000 children could be kidnapped in the country and you can't find 2,000 people. I mean, 200 children or so, and they kill 2,000 people and all that crazy mess is happening and the government cannot find it. I mean, we have satellite in the air. I mean, the sky that can see things. And you can't find people in a place that is barren land, you know. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me, so.
And it's been estimated that at least 30,000 people have been killed. We have 3.3 million people who've been displaced from their homes, are in Chad, Cameroon, or in Nigeria living as refugees. So we wanted to just show solidarity with the people of Nigeria that we see them, we care about them, and we're sending our prayers, our thoughts, and our positive energy to them during this period.
Well, as the election draws near, the Nigerian government continues to face a number of serious issues, including but not limited, of course, to the Boko Haram insurgency, fear of disenfranchisement among a large segment of the voting population, the staggering number of internally displaced persons, and religious considerations of the candidates. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, which asks, what issues concern you most in the run-up to the Nigerian presidential and legislative elections? Well, thanks all for using, once again, our social media platform to communicate to us. Let's begin right away with a comment from Mohamed Ahmed Mansour from Monrovia in Liberia, who writes, I think there's a need for a diplomatic settlement to the problem of Boko Haram to ensure peaceful, free, and fair, and transparent elections. More importantly, on the issue of ethnicity, Nigerians should realize that the ballot is their power and choose the candidate of their choice that will best represent the interest of all their people. I hope the election will not be filled with irregularities and fraud. Democracy must be born. Well, let's move on to another posting from Patricia Namdi in Kampala, Uganda, who writes, Nigerians should vote wisely for a person who will put an end to Boko Haram's terrorism. Vote for someone who will improve the living conditions of Nigerian citizens and one who will ensure that there is regional balance, rather, between the North and the South. Lastly, vote for a person that will reconcile politicians of different ideologies. Well, Shaka and guests, very interesting comments. Your take on those?
Very interesting indeed. What about you, Dolina? How do you react to that?
Well, I think what's coming out in both of those comments is really the need for a political solution, you know, to the Boko Haram issue. I mean, the military aspect is certainly one solution, but a more durable solution would be a political one.
Mm-hmm. Talking about a need for political solution, wasn't there a time when we were assured by the Nigerian government, for example, that in fact it had cut a deal with Boko Haram leaders so as to release our girls back? What happened?
Yes, well, nothing happened. There were promises that they were in discussions with Boko Haram and the girls would be released, and the deadline came and went, and the girls are still not back. So it's not clear who the interlocutors were and what the issues and the conditions were, but that has not happened so far.
Well, Mariama, any more feedback from our social media, fans or followers?
Well, another reminder that we're actually tweeting live today using the hashtag, of course, VOA Nigeria 2015. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOA Shaka. And talking about it, I think we got a tweet that I can just look at right now. A tweet from Collins Abson, who wrote this question, this comment: how can countries like Nigeria, South Sudan, Chad be able to face the basic facts of security like Boko Haram? So we have a lot of security questions. But while we're at it, let's look at another comment, this time from Facebook, that just came from Justina Nwekeji in Nigeria, who writes that what concerns me is a practical, realistic, and workable approach toward ending insecurity, tackling corruption, creating enabling environment for small and medium-scale businesses to thrive, uniting Nigerians across religious, ethnic, and regional lines. She also writes about revamping our educational system, tackling electricity and power supply, enthronement of rule of law, and reviving the civil service. So this is a comment from Justina Nwekeji in Nigeria. Shaka and guest.
Thank you. What about that, Alice?
It's quite encouraging to know that there are Nigerians who are actually thinking right. I think that for Nigerians need to understand that what we need right now is to save Nigeria, to end this life, the living of fear, because there is fear, not just Boko Haram. Though that Boko Haram is a destructive force, but we also now have even the ex-militants in the Niger Delta that are also spitting fire, that if Jonathan does not win this election, then Nigeria will divide. Again, this is coming on the back of people who completely misunderstand what nationhood actually means. And we really need to get Nigerians to wake up. So the changing of the date, whether you postpone it to the end of this year or not, until the Nigerians themselves are given the opportunity to go out and exercise their right to vote in a free, fair, and transparent way, there's going to be problem. There's not going to be the peace in the country until those that are running fraudulent electoral processes in the country recognize that Nigeria's survival is going to be the survival of each one of us as Nigerians. If Nigeria fails, we all fail. Then Africans will say, what happens if Nigeria fails? This is why the whole world is watching. Nigerians must know that the time is now for them to pull back. Don't worry about it. This is not to do with religion. It is not to do with ethnicity. It is not to do with tribe. It is to do with how you yourself feel. How are you feeling as a human being in you? Do you feel safe when you go to bed in the night? Do you feel safe when you drive? Can your children go to school safely? Is there food for them to eat? We're talking about hunger. Is there electricity for the children to read their books? Can you pay for them to go to school? If they do, if you are able to pay, what is the standard of education that they get? Because the standard of education in Nigeria has gone down to the dogs. And that is what corruption has done and bad governance has done. What we have is our survival. It is not whether Buhari went to school or not, nor whether Goodluck Jonathan actually is from the Niger Delta or from the Jor tribe. What is before us is our survival.
You know, in the past, we have shared a lot of things, especially about Nigeria in particular, and Africa in general. And I recall you saying, Alice, that there are two types or two kinds of people in Nigeria. One of them, you said, are cowards or is a coward.
Yes.
The other is someone who is selfish. Do you still believe in that?
Yes. There are two types of people.
Greedy.
A lot of people won't talk. They are either greedy or they are cowards. You see? And what we have, until we are able, those who are greedy are those who know what is right, but they refuse to do it because they want to be on the winning side so that they can continue to benefit from the system, to siphon, to parasite on the system. And there are others who know that things are not right, but they cannot stand up because they are cowards. But cowards die million deaths. And I say that Nigerians at this time are near death, and they need to redeem themselves.
Obviously, you sound like, almost saying that what is needed perhaps is what someone would characterize as a fundamental paradigm shift. What do you think it will take in order to bring about fundamental changes in people's attitudes, in people's mindsets, in order to become newborn Nigerians, good Nigerians, that can deliver for their people?
I think the international community has actually taken the first step. And one of that is that the candidates have written that they will make sure that this is going to be a peaceful election. This is because there is great incitement. They are telling the people what is not true. They are diverting attention from the real issues that Nigeria as a nation is confronted with at this time. So what we need is for these people who are the politicians to take a step back and allow the people to exercise their own mind. Let them think. When people say to me, tell them, I say, no. If you are hungry, you know you are hungry. I don't have to tell you that you are hungry. If you are afraid, you know you are afraid. I don't have to tell you. How many of our youths are trying to run away from Nigeria? They need to be left alone. The paradigm shift will happen when you allow the people to even hear themselves, think and consider themselves as the worth of themselves as human beings. Right now, there is so much going on. Buhari is a thief. He's the anathema. He's Boko Haram. So there is so much propaganda machinery going in, and the people are not able to even think for themselves. The paradigm shift will happen when the people wake up, and those in church should stop telling them that God is going to come down and give them rice, he's going to give them divine favor and not divine labor. We need to go to the major players in Nigeria, and those are the church people, the fake politicians that are using the youths, those that have destroyed the fabric of Nigeria, the economic and societal fabric of Nigeria is destroyed. And they are feeding their own political agenda on the destruction and the rot that they themselves have created. They top it up with propaganda then character assassination.
I see. Well, thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Thank you, Shaka, and thank you to our guests. That will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please, please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Just subscribe to VOA TV to Africa. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. Next week on Straight Talk Africa, we'll continue our collaboration with Channels TV as we examine the election process in Nigeria. Is the political playing field leveled? What's being done to ensure a peaceful, free, fair, and transparent vote? That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
A reminder that you are tuned in to a special edition of Straight Talk Africa on the upcoming elections in Nigeria as we focus the major social and security issues. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
Well, welcome back. And if you are just joining us, my distinguished guests are Dr. Dorina Biko, Associate Professor of Conflict Prevention, Mitigation and Resolution at the Africa Center for Strategic Studies, the National Defense University based here in the nation's capital, and Alice Ukoko, Founder and Chief Executive Officer of Women of Africa, that advocates for African women and children in the United Kingdom. In 2007, Ms. Ukoko was the Labour Party gubernatorial candidate in the Niger Delta. She joins us from VOA Studios in London. Well, I have to say, ladies, that I'm profoundly honoured and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Well, let me come to you, Dorina. You heard, of course, what Alice was talking about. But can't you find something positive, something good from Africa's, most populous nation, Africa's largest economy, really? Look at Nollywood, for example. Mm-hmm. Look at last year, the Eagles, the Nigerian national football team, won it all.
Yes.
It won the Africa Cup. Except that, of course, this time it is missing in action in Marabu.
There are many, many positive things to say about Nigeria, especially civil society, mm-hmm. Very active, very robust civil society. The media is a free media and also equally robust.
Very robust.
Their reporting on both Boko Haram and the election is great. You know, I don't find it lacking in any way. Of course, entrepreneurially, Nigeria tops the charts, mm-hmm. Across the continent.
They have 23 married billionaires.
Yes.
They are the top in as far as the continent is concerned. They have the largest economy to boot.
Mm-hmm.
But are those statistics, when you talk about the largest economy to boot, are they reflected in the people's stomachs, really? In the people's neighborhoods, villages?
Well, so that is always the tension there is, yes, it's the largest economy, on the continent now, but there's still, lots of poverty. So we have a distribution, issue. But Nigeria is critical to West Africa. It's critical to the continent in general. And I think this is why we're also seeing so much attention to the politics, what's going on in Nigeria. And, the fact that now we've got the multinational countries, multinational force, Chad, Benin, Niger, Cameroon, going in to, address the Boko Haram issue because it is a regional concern. So definitely Nigeria is critical. There are many positive things to say about the country.
Now, Aris, the Nigerian president, Goodluck Jonathan, of course, with his wife, the first lady, whose name, of course, is Patience. There are some people who have, in fact, been saying lately that, yes, he may be Goodluck Jonathan, but it looks like lately he may probably has transformed himself into, quote-unquote, Bad Luck Jonathan. Do you agree with those?
I think sometimes I begin to retreat my position. Goodluck Jonathan is the president of Nigeria. It is his responsibility to create the enabling environment to allow Nigerians to realize the aspiration. It is his responsibility as the chief of staff to also, the commander-in-chief rather, to ensure that the people feel safe in the country that is ruling. But that does not mean that he is the only one who is to make all of this to happen. I know, and I begin to look at the fact that there are a lot of people in offices across the political spectrum, if you like, in government, including the civil servants, that really are not doing their work. Because if everybody is doing their work, Nigeria will not be where we are today. And the effort and the condemnation, all of it cannot be heaped on one man, who is the Goodluck Jonathan. So I don't think that is correct to say that Goodluck Jonathan is now Bad Luck Jonathan. No, only him cannot do it. We agree that he is the one who have to dictate the environment in which other people contribute to the development of the country. I never agree that Nigeria is the largest economy. I like to understand that the economy is the fact, is the reaction. We talk about the GDP. The civil society, the people that I represent, the women, the youths, the men, mm-hmm. the children, they are struggling. They are not enjoying the economy. So because of that, I would say that the emerging market that we talk about has not really touched my people. And my people need a safe environment. They need food in their stomach. This is why the women of Africa, we are now looking to launch our African Women Economic and Social Fund to begin to tackle the issue of hunger. Hunger is an abuse of human rights. And we all need to wake up to the fact that it doesn't matter how much we color what is going on, the tragedy of our women and children going to bed hungry. The truth is, Nigeria needs to wake up and Nigeria needs to be saved.
Do you think that Nigeria perhaps might in fact need to use a policy that at one time in fact was put in place by a military head of state called Major General Muhammadu Buhari in the early 80s, and it was called Why? It was war yes. against indiscipline in Nigeria.
Yes, I remember it. I was actually in Nigeria then, and it was not only talking about indiscipline in the sense that you go into the civil service. I was working at with the university at the time in Delta State. People don't go to the office. They are not there. So, and he saw that they need to address the issue of indiscipline. He was also talking about Henry not going abroad. Stay here, let's deal with it. In other words, he was talking about brain drain. People escaping Nigeria and going abroad to look for greener pasture out there instead of doing the work on the ground. These are the things that I remember of him. And I know he's an old man now, and I'm not advocating for him, but I think that it is not about him. It is about Nigerians. Nigerians are indisciplined, and we don't like to do things for ourselves. We like the divine to do it for us. We are looking for supernatural way of living our lives, and it will not work. We need to realize that whatever we need, we create our own reality. The world is watching us. Our children are dying, and they are expecting their parents to create a livelihood, a country that they can safely call their own. This is the challenge before us. Indiscipline needs to end. There is indiscipline all over the place. We look at sexual abuse of women from the top to the bottom. And we know that a nation that sexually abuses mother nation.
But how do you bring about that, really? Because I remember that in 1976, you had a General Murtari Muhammad who actually decided to fight against corruption. He was assassinated. Yeah. Buhari tried to curb corruption in 1984-85. He was overthrown.
Yes.
How do you move on from
that? That is correct. This is what I'm saying, that the people of Nigeria, are the ones holding the key. Look at Burkina Faso. How long did it take for the people of Burkina Faso to overturn a dictator from their land?
Well, I'm told...
Look at Greece.
I am told by my bosses there is no democracy in the studio, that I have to go to Nigeria. It looks like the lines have opened. I hope you'll forgive me for that. Good evening, my brother Kayode.
Hi, good evening, Shaka. How are you?
I am terrific, except that, of course, it is still afternoon here for me in Washington, D.C.
Well, out here in Nigeria, it's almost 8:30.
It's almost 8:30. So what's cooking, man? What's happening on the ground in Lagos?
Well, on the ground in Lagos, it's an obvious move to ensure that all the necessary preparations election is achieved, and this is the feeling across the entire nation. Everyone is in the mood to see this election happen as quickly as possible, and let's get it over with. There are concerns about enough issues in terms of distribution of the permanent voters card, which becomes something that has to be gotten. If you don't have it, you cannot vote. Everyone wants to have it. I've spoken with people in government and outside of government, and they are all saying that there is a likelihood of the public holiday by the state and possibly by the federal government that will ensure that nobody is disenfranchised and anybody that is eligible to vote and wants to vote will be able to get their permanent voters register. So they will be able to cast their vote on the 14th of February and also on the 28th of February when the state assembly as well as the state governors are being elected.
But what about the fact that Professor Jega himself has been assuring the nation that INEC really is in a position to deliver on February 14th?
What he has said consistently is that INEC will deliver. He has not at any point in time, to the best of my knowledge, and we have covering practically all his press conferences, he has consistently said that he will be able to deliver. He has the wherewithal to do it. And I guess all he's asking for is cooperation of everybody to enable him to achieve that onerous task that he has to, which is to make sure that everybody has got their permanent voters card, everybody is prepared for the election. I mean, the put it, there is the that we have had consistently as being that of problem of logistics, and Professor Jega has said logistics issues should not be a problem this time. This is a promise. How well he will be able to perform and deliver on that is going to be something that we will wait to see.
Thank
but at
you.
The moment, thank will you. Deliver thank, on that.
Thank you, Kayode. Time is not our best ally. On that note, I would like to thank my guests, Dr. Dolina Biko, Associate Professor of Conflict Prevention, Mitigation and Resolution at the Africa Center for Strategic Studies, the National Defense University based here in the nation's capital, and Alice Ukoko, Founder and Chief Executive Officer of Women of Africa, who joined us from VOA London Studios. Thanks to affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next, and tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Batte. Again, join us next week as we continue our collaboration with our Nigerian partner station, Channels TV in Lagos, when we focus on the electoral process. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not beta Nigeria and Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.